Well, Craig, no pressure, but just so you know, 55 days, 7 hours, and now only 13 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. So edging ever closer, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. You know, it's funny. My wife reminds me pretty much every morning when she goes on our computer the countdown. So I'm glad you guys reminded me.
Well, I gave it out in the beginning of the program, as I do every week, and Mike looked at me and said, well, who's counting? And I said, I'm sure Craig Fravel is counting because, you know, it's getting close now, and we're down to crunch time, and the fields are starting to come together with all the Breeders' Cup Challenge winners making their way into the fields, and really going to be a special time down at Keeneland.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know if you guys have been over there lately, but the transformation is well along, and our friends at the Colonnade Group who've been putting together the temporary facilities and the Keeneland management team has done an amazing job and redoing the paddock in a lot of ways, and it's just going to be a spectacular event.
Yeah, and it's not only about the 2 days, Craig. With it coming to Keeneland, I know you've put a lot of effort into making it at least a week-long event, and coming on the heels of the Keeneland October race meet, it's probably going to be more like a 3 or 4 week type of event this time around, won't it?
Well, you know, Keeneland's going to be kind of kicking the tires on some of these facilities during the, you know, Fall Stars weekend and the meet leading up to the Breeders' Cup. So we have an unusual opportunity to have a dry run that lasts about a month. And as you said, I mean, you can't go anywhere in Lexington without somebody asking you about Breeders' Cup and talking about how excited they are. We had our cupcake tasting the other morning, and one of the TV reporters was telling me how excited they are and how, you know, interested it is and how much fun it's going to be. So it really is a community embracing a world-class event, and we're really looking forward to that.
Craig, Mike D'Anzaris here. Thanks for joining us this morning. I really love the way you guys have continued to expand the fields and continue to expand the diversity with which from where people are coming to race. You know, you've made a concerted effort overseas. You continue, obviously, to do so much here. Talk a little bit about how that continues to grow and how horsemen, not only in the States but around the world, are really you know, continuing to shoot for the opportunity just to participate in this great event.
Well, you know, sometimes I think when you're trying to get people to race with you, obviously there's so many opportunities, not just in the U.S. but all over the world for people to pick and choose, and they, in this day and age, they kind of use major stakes events like the Hong Kong International Races or ours or British Champions Weekend, and it's almost like having a condition book in front of you. You have so many different opportunities to choose from. If you pick one you think your horse fits in, as opposed to maybe 20, 30 years ago, you know, there were relatively few opportunities. Candidly, the Breeders' Cup was the only game in town. So you really have to let people know that you're interested in having them, that there's an invitation mm-hmm. waiting for them to come, and that when they come, they're going to be treated, you know, as well as you possibly can treat them. And so, you know, last year we sent Josh Christian, our director of racing, over to Europe, and not only Europe, but Josh travels around the world to visit with horsemen, with owners and trainers and breeders, and let them know that they're welcome and wanted. And that's really made a huge difference in terms of, I think, the perception of the Breeders' Cup. I think we used to be viewed as a little standoffish, and now, you know, it's an open invitation, and we really want to have the best horses here.
Visiting with Breeders' Cup President Craig Fravel on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, hosted live from Embrace the Race in Saratoga Springs. And, Craig, I know that, segueing into a somewhat of a different topic, I know that you are also involved with the Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity, which was recently formed. And talk a little bit about the reasons behind this. Why was the organization formed, and what are you hoping to accomplish with this new organization?
Well, you know, as you know, the coalition encompasses a large number of people. You know, one of the main constituencies is the thousands of members of the Water Hay Oats Alliance. We also have the Kentucky Thoroughbred Breeders Association, the KTA as well, Jockey Club. And really the goal of the organization is to encourage the continuation and completion of the project that's been going on in terms of developing uniform rules and a cohesive national policy on medication regulation. And I, you know, personally, I believe very strongly that if we can put that argument behind us, and maybe we'll always argue about things like medication, but But if we can have a very solid infrastructure and system for not only making rules but adjudicating them and enforcing them in consistent fashion, that's going to be a building block for future growth of this industry.
Well, if that were to become reality, and you do work with the U.S. Anti-Doping Association on this, would the federal government still be involved in racing, or does their involvement end with that designation of the USADA?
I think you got it right with the latter statement. Essentially, you know, USADA and then the new Thoroughbred Horse Racing Anti-Doping Agency would be non-governmental agencies, essentially 501c3 corporations, and they would be the, you know, guiding force behind the creation of the new medication regime. As I say to a lot of people, to say, well, we don't want government involved in racing. Well, right now we have 38 governments involved in racing. We have political appointees in some jurisdictions who have experience in horse racing, and other jurisdictions have none. And so it's really kind of a vast roadmap of different approaches to regulation. And every time we want to change a rule on some, excuse me, on some medication issue, we have to, you know, proceed through numerous state administrative processes to get that done. I think if we were starting from scratch, everyone would probably agree that one approach to the whole thing would be, you know, much superior to 38 different approaches.
Yeah, that's what always gets me, and that is one of the major issues with the sport of thoroughbred racing, is that you do have the different state racing commissions and the state jurisdictions. All the states have their individual legislation that you have to work through every time you want to get something passed. And we have this program in place, the National Uniform Medication Program, which has been adopted by several states, but not all. And in my opinion, Craig, it's a no-brainer to have everybody at least on the same page, so that if a trainer runs in Kentucky, he plays by the same set of rules that he plays by in New York and California and Florida and Texas and wherever it might be that they're running. Do you agree with that, that there has to be some type of uniform policy across the board?
I completely agree. And look, some people want to take offense that the effort is directed at criticizing state racing commissions and is a negative approach to things. I think it's exactly the opposite. We're trying to create a new system that would have made sense if we had done it from the very start. And, you know, there are state commissions out there and state regulators that do a terrific job. And in my 25 or 26 years in the horse racing business, there have been enormous strides. And, you know, my friends in California, I think the California Horse Racing Board and the Kentucky Racing Commission here, do an extraordinary job of not only with their laboratory work, but their enforcement efforts, the degree to which they take this task seriously. And but at the end of the day, California and Kentucky should be doing exactly the same thing. And if you get caught for doing something wrong in one, the punishment should be the same as it would be if you were in the other. So, you know, that's a world I think that we aspire to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And having a uniform medication program that's the same from state to state just makes perfect sense. Why is it, Craig, that it's so difficult to get every single state on the same page when it seems like a no-brainer that is good for the sport of thoroughbred racing?
Well, look, this coalition just got announced a few months ago, and like everything else that's good in life, sometimes it takes a long time to have people understand and should nod their heads in agreement that, yeah, maybe that is something we should think about. So, you know, it's new. The familiarity with USADA and its mission and its people is not as great as we need it to be, and I think there's an education effort ahead to get people comfortable with not only the organizational structure but the business plan and the method of interacting with state commissions and utilizing existing resources. I think at the end of the day, we'll come up with a much better approach. But, you know, like everything, it takes time. And you know, I guess I'm as bad as anybody. We're all a little reluctant to change sometimes, but sometimes it's a little important to take a good hard look at yourself and your industry and the way you do things and say, is there a better way?
Craig Fravel, president of the Breeders' Cup, joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. If you want to learn more about the Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity, you can go to horseracingintegrity.com, and it gives you a full description of what the organization is about and what they're hoping to accomplish with the new program. And, Craig, can't thank you enough for all your time. You mentioned sometimes it takes a little time to get everybody on the same page. Well, time is ticking toward the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. Just in case you're wondering now, 55 days, 7 hours, and only 3 minutes away. So you better get to work.
Well, one thing I do know that everybody's going to be agreeing on is this is going to be a great Breeders' Cup, so we're really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and it's a privilege to be part of it. Thank you for all your support. We're happy to be there as your exclusive radio partner, and looking forward to all the coverage coming up.
Great. Thanks, guys.